The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. C-Notes coming up in 20 minutes. Some interesting intel and perspective on the Cowboys' pending coaching search. We'll get that here coming up in about 18 minutes from now, actually. It's time now for Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day, buddy.
All right. I've got your question of the day. I'm just going to give you a moment to ponder and get ready for this. Just get your mind, body, and soul right, because it might be NFL guy of the day on the line here for this one. It's an interesting question. I didn't even know that if I'd been able to answer this myself when I saw it, that I got to ask you guys about this question. We do have, of course, the big news today, Zach Martin undergoing season-ending surgery with his ankle, if you missed that. He also was nominated as the Cowboys representative for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Possibly the last time we get to see number 70 in a Cowboys uniform. I hope that's not the case. I did see Micah Parsons said that he thinks that Micah Parsons said Zach Martin would retire before he goes and plays for another team. Bleeds blue. So I don't think that would be in the cards. I think it would probably just be, if the Cowboys don't want me, maybe it's done. Maybe he's just decided himself that it's done. But that was bummer news to get today regarding
I think
that.
His market value is right around probably more than what Tyron got.
I would have to agree with that.
You say $12 million for 2 years, 15 of it guaranteed. Jeez, I don't know how you would say no to that, but I don't know. You know, some guys do such a great job managing their wealth that they don't have any hangups about that.
Yeah, I think absolutely there's a market for him if you wanted to go play elsewhere, but maybe it is one of those things where it's, look, I'm either playing here or I'm done. Well, I guess we'll address that in the off season, but if that is the end, man, we love you, Zach, and thank you for everything you've done for this Cowboys organization. Yesterday, it was also made official that Trevor Lawrence is done for the year. He was placed on IR. He's also going to undergo shoulder surgery. So it's not just the concussion, but he's going to have surgery on a shoulder that's been bugging him throughout the season as well. That's going to repair an AC joint in the left shoulder that he's been dealing with for a few weeks. CeeDee Lamb's also been dealing with an AC joint, he said today, for the last 4 to 5 weeks. I think that probably happened in Atlanta, and he's just playing through that. He said he's going to be all right, probably going to still be playing on Monday night against Cincinnati. But we then got the NFL upholding Aziz Alshaier and that 3-game suspension for the hit on Trevor Lawrence, and I guess he wants to embrace the villain role with all of this.
Oh, my gosh. The response on that? This is hilarious.
Yeah. He's put out on Twitter, if you want me to be your villain, I'll be your villain. See you soon. And
don't forget the middle finger emoji.
The middle finger emoji. And then the Joker clown face. And then other pictures of him in a Texans uniform with his My Cause, My Cleats that say free on them. And there is beauty in being rejected, misunderstood, unseen, and unprotected by people. It teaches you to rely on Allah for everything, says Aziz Alshaier. So, I mean, hey, D'Amico Ryans has come out in support of him. I mean, Brady even had a take like Trevor Lawrence needs to, we need to do a better job as quarterbacks protecting ourselves from these type of hits. I can see maybe both sides to this thing. And maybe if T-Law didn't end up being done for the season, same day that they hear hear that. I don't know. That could have had no bearing on the decision whatsoever. But now you've got Lawrence, who's done for the season. I have seen some pushback, like Trey Wingo, who joins KNC. We got to interview him at the Super Bowl. He even said, if Lawrence is going to be done for the season, why does Al Shaeer get to come back even after three games? So I know that opinion has been floated around out there as well.
Yeah, you know, I just think so much of it is the result of the concussion. You know, if he pops up, I maybe there's a $15,000 fine. But
100%
agreed. But the seizing on TV like that, that kind of concussion is just so ugly. I think it leaves a lasting impression on people. Zach, I don't think the guy did much wrong at all. I think he was defending the first down line. He was reaching out and leaning forward to try to push him down without leading, even with a shoulder or a head or anything. And Lawrence is fast and came in there hot before he could reset his balance, you know. So I'm going with, you know, judging the intent of what I saw on the screen. And I didn't think he was headhunting in any way. It was an unfortunate accident. And I'm kind of disgusted with the reaction towards him.
Well, we've also got Logan Wilson, Bengals linebacker, who he was one of these hip drop guys. Like when the hip drop tackle was put in, I think he ended up knocking out two different players to season-ending injuries. He's now going to have a surgery cleanup on his knee. He's having that this morning. So he's expected now to miss the rest of the regular season. So Cincinnati's defense, we'll get that update coming up at 3:40 from Brian Krusty's Corner, but they're not going to have Logan Wilson, who's arguably their best linebacker.
That is very true right there.
That's a big loss for them.
Yep.
A bad defense gets a little bit worse. Okay, you guys ready for this question of the day?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for giving me that time to prep.
Are you ready? You sure? Mind, body, soul, everything ready to go? All right, can you guys name the last three quarterbacks to win the AFC East?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Tom Brady.
Okay.
And before that,
the third one's tough.
I actually know this.
Is it like a Dolphins dude?
It's a Dolphins dude.
A David Woodley?
No.
Ken Lucas?
No.
Oh no. It's okay. We're going a little. It's not David.
Dan Marino.
No.
It's not Dan.
No, post Dan. It's not Gus Frat. It's not Joey Harrington.
It's not Jay Fiedler.
That's a good guess.
It's not AJ Feely. It's not Sage Rosenfels.
Nope.
It's not Cleo Lemon. They literally had a Lemon at quarterback at one point.
What kind of hint?
It's quarterback spent.
It's not Dante Culpepper.
The Jets.
Oh wait. Oh, it's the guy.
Chad Pennington. The last three quarterbacks to win the AFC East, Josh Allen, who of course did it recently last year, Brady, and then you got to go back to Chad Pennington.
That's awesome, man.
That's the dominant run that Brady went on. But after that, it's like Chad Pennington?
Yeah.
Holy moly. I had not thought of Chad Pennington in many years.
We make fun of the Browns and their quarterback situation over the last like 30 years, but the Dolphins are right there, dude.
That's crazy. Well done, boys. Well done. And a couple of the techs got it. 518, you nailed it. 214, you nailed it. 870, I like to get some Fitzmagic. I'll have some Fitzmagic audio coming up Chuck Wagon at 6 o'clock. Great way, great proposal story from Fitzmagic. Now, from one Dolphin quarterback to another, Tua took to the podium yesterday. They're 5-7. Certainly been a down season for them. They were expecting to compete for that division. Maybe Tua could have got on that list.
Bills already got it locked up.
They do. Bills have clinched it.
Oh, you gotta give him that huck.
Tua. Here was Tua kind of just taking the blame and falling on the sword here for his guys.
Very surprised. I don't think that shows the character of who we are as a team. Doesn't show the work that we've put in this offseason together. But, you know, nobody else will say it but me. And I feel like this has a lot to do with myself, obviously putting myself in harm's way in the second game, going down, basically leaving my guys out to dry. That's what I would say. And anyone can have an opinion about, like, it's football, it's this, it's that. You know, I do take heart to that as well. And still don't want to do that to my guys again. So, yep.
Kind of right. You know, I mean, I think that they're probably at least 500 with him. They clearly are an inept offense and team without him. And that probably does have something to do. And we talked about it during that stretch with Mike McDaniel and not adjusting to the game plan of whoever he's got out there, the running scheme, the passing combinations. But clearly with Tua playing, they are a pretty good offense and good football team. When he's been out of the lineup and they're playing Skylar Thompson and company, and again, failure from the front office. You know Tua is your quarterback. You know he's injury prone. You should probably have a capable backup to slide in there. But with him, they're a competitive team. Without him, they are one of the worst in the league.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing when you're playing the sport and you have to sort of handicap yourself to some extent because you can't just play like you're, but his body won't allow for it. Like the play he got hurt with versus DeMar Hamlin in the, I think it was the second game of the season, what put him out. That was like pretty innocuous, dude. And so that's a tough line to toe, and I don't know how consistently you can really do that. Nature versus nurture, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Nature versus nurture, Lodge. Nature always wins.
Always.
Always. Okay, let's get to Rodgers. Rodgers, and if you haven't seen the documentary trailer for his new Netflix, a lot of drug use. It's going to be interesting. Shailene Woodley's back in the news. Like, gosh, Aaron Rodgers, that relationship toxic, put me in depression. Well, here he is. There's claims that this is going to be the last season with the Jets. Jets have been looking to maybe even bench him. Does Rodgers agree with some of this speculation?
Yeah, I mean, I just redid my house here in Jersey, so my goal was to play a few more years here, but we'll see. I'd like to be healthy, I'd like to end on my feet, and then I'd like to play well, and I'd like, to feel like I'm wanted back. If not, you know, that's, again, I will not be offended, I won't be upset, I'll be so thankful either way, whatever happens here. But, I got to be healthy mentally, physically, and then there's got to be interest on both sides. And if that's not the case, then I'll look at other options. But first I'll think about whether I actually want to play or not. But it usually takes a good, month to get away from it, which I'll do the first month, and then see what happens.
Whatever the darkness tells me, I'll probably do. I do think it was smart of him to say that he's got to think about if he wants to play first before the other options. Because at this point, 877-881-1053, like if you're a fan of another team, not named the Cowboys, and you need a quarterback, would you even want Aaron Rodgers? I don't think that he's very wanted.
No, not at all. I mean, for a ton of reasons, but even just the football reasons, he's not playing well. It's hard for him now to not be banged up. That's just going to be the life now for him moving forward. And he wants to have his Nathaniel Hackett static garbage offense.
And bring all of his buddies with him, whether it's Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, who is retired, I know, but Davante Adams. Like, he just tries to strike up the band, let's get it going again, like he had in Green Bay. And now he's just no longer physically a good player anymore.
I think if you had a great offensive line with a good running game and somehow your quarterback gets hurt in training camp, I want him. You know, it's probably the best option out there by far. But you can no longer expect Aaron Rodgers to be rolling out or escaping the pocket. He is in year one post Achilles, but he's old, you know. But I would think that Aaron Rodgers could still get this done at a very high level, like if he was the Lions quarterback right now.
Well, it does seem as though Mike Vrabel, according to Rich Cimini, who does a great job of covering the Jets, would be interested, he's been told, in the Jets head coaching job.
He wants to know the GM, though, doesn't he?
Yes, he said he's got to approve on the GM. Cimini also added, because Vrabel's got a great relationship with Belichick, played for him in New England, won Super Bowls, and we know Bill has a hatred for the Jets. Said, I don't care what Bill might think of Woody Johnson, and he would still interview and decide on his own if he would take that job. I don't know, maybe I don't know that anybody can really turn this thing around, but the last time they had great success, it was with Rex Ryan, defensive, hard-nosed coach. Maybe Vrabel is a guy. They tried it with Saleh, I guess, but Vrabel has had success. Titans go to an AFC championship game. But I'm not betting on anybody to really go into that scenario unless they finally nail this GM hire. I guess the Texans were a bad organization. They get Nick Caserio in there. They've had some good drafts. Maybe that really is it. If you can nail the GM and then a guy like Vrabel, whoever they hire, maybe things can turn around. But the Jets just seem like they're cursed.
I would want nothing to do with it if I was like a coach with options. That would be probably the last on the list of teams. Of all the available teams, it's going to be like, what, 7 or 8 of them or whatever. Jets would be the last one you want to go to.
And now, maybe you can draft a quarterback, but that quarterback position is totally unsolved again. It's like, at least with some of these other spots, you're going to be in position to have a top three pick, or you're inheriting a guy. Do you believe in Trevor Lawrence? Do you believe in a Dak Prescott if McCarthy isn't brought back, right? Like, there's at least a guy in place that I can say, okay, I can do something with him. With the Jets, it's just totally unknown right now. And Aaron Rodgers isn't good if that is the way that they decide to bring him back. Last week, you had the NFL Players Association and the NFL. They're putting several rules around the policies on substance abuse and performance-enhancing drugs. The No Fun League now will suspend a player for posting that they have been given a drug test, $15,000. Fines for a positive test related to substance of abuse have been reduced. Previously, a first violation led to a fine of a half-game paycheck, whole game for a second, two games for a third. Now it's just going to be $15K for a violation, $20K for a second, but they also can't, you know how we have fun with, oh, here's my locker, I've got to take a pee test.
I just had such a good game, the NFL doesn't think that what I did was just normal human being kind of stuff.
NFL doesn't want that out there anymore. And if you go ahead and share that, then we're going to slap you with a nice fine.
There's got to be a loophole in here, you know, like, okay, I can't take a picture of the letter, but I can still use my voice and just mention it. I can go live on Instagram and be like, yo,
I can just say that it happened.
Yeah, it happened.
So we still know.
I mean, it's fun to brag about it. Like, man, I was so dang good.
As well, like, I don't think this is a negative to the league. I don't know why the league really cares.
I'll tell you why. You know, because they're always going tit for tat, and the players won by the relaxation of the rules.
Oh, yes.
So okay. We're not telling anybody you guys are smoking dope anymore. How about you not tell on us? And I think
that
it's
petty. That we're testing you all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's petty and it's weird, but that's just, you know, the control business that a lot of people in the NFL are in.
Now, the last thing here, and I don't believe this is a ball sacking because I think it's a legitimate North Carolina site. They work with Sports Illustrated, but they've apparently talked with Bill Belichick about their head coaching opening there at North Carolina since they moved on from Mac Brown. Mm-hmm. That'd be crazy to think about Bill going to college, but maybe that could happen.
Oh, that seems like the last, I mean... We know his dating preferences skew a little bit more
maybe
that direction.
Maybe scouting the next girlfriend.
Maybe the girlfriend wants to be in more of a, you know, college town.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine in this world of, like, Saban's getting out, dude. In what way would you want to get in there? And it's not even like you're going to a blue blood that just sort of sells itself to some extent. You're going to go to UNC. I guess you're in the ACC.
Basketball school.
But, like, come on. That, to me, this reads more like... Hey, we want to pick your brain, Bill, even though I'd rather pick Nick Saban's brain in a situation like this. But, like, I'm just trying to justify it. I can't understand why Bill Belichick would have any interest in this.
Me either.
Unless he knows nobody in the NFL wants him?
Maybe. Or I could set my son up for a job.
It would surprise me. I think he'd be really good at it, you know, especially because recruiting is not as important as it was. Scouting all those players in the transfer portal, I think teaching football – you know, his high accountability, high discipline thing probably plays better in college than it does in a lot of pro locker rooms. I could see it working. He's great friends with Saban. You know, maybe he can talk with Saban, you know, get some pointers there, but it would be a shock. I think one of these NFL teams, maybe it's the Jets, although that probably wouldn't work because of their history there.
Jacksonville.
But yeah, I think he'd be willing to take any job, and with 7 or 8 open, I'm sure he'll find work this time around. Thank you, Woolchuck. NFL News of the Day in the books. C-Notes coming up next. Cowboys News of the Evening. The latest speculation on who the Cowboys should hire is next on The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's time here for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening. On a monumental day in Cowboys history, you know, my first day on The Fan, Flozell Adams retired. And I'll always remember that and how big of a deal Tom Bigby was explaining to me it is. And you know, this one probably weighs bigger. Where's Zach Martin among the best Cowboys offensive linemen of all time? And we'll talk about some of the contract details in there and if it's realistic to bring him back here in just a second. Segment's brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art, and the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Jori Epstein, though, Yahoo Today is going to lead this C-note here. As you know, she had that interview a couple of days back with Dak Prescott. She's been in the news a lot this week for that. But she was also on her own podcast, on a separate podcast, Jori Epstein.
Yeah, Yahoo Sports Football 300 podcast.
Right on. And here she is talking about who the Cowboys should be looking to hire as an offensive mind.
If I were general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, whether it's Mike McCarthy as head coach, fine. Honestly, maybe even if it's him as play caller. But the person that I want as offensive coordinator next year is Hank Fraley. And I feel confident there's a chance I'm the first one to say this. He is the Detroit Lions offensive line coach. And when I went to Detroit during training camp, I was really, really impressed with the way the players talked about it. I'm like, look, the way that Hank Fraley has helped them build their offensive line from a personnel standpoint and a scheme standpoint is really the starting point for why Jared Goff is able to do what he's able to do, for why the running backs are able to do what they're able to do, and just for why they're able to bully people at the line of scrimmage so thoroughly. And a guy like Hank Fraley, or in Philadelphia, you have Jeff Stoutland, guys who have just been offensive line for so long. Dallas was a team that was succeeding because of its offensive line. That's not to take away from Dak Prescott, and any quarterback plays better when they have the offensive line. I mean, we saw when the Chiefs lost to the Bucs in the Super Bowl, what did they do to help Patrick Mahomes for the next year when they came back to win two? They shored up their offensive line and they got players. And I think that if you had those ideas, those blocking schemes, and those kind of pass protection in Dallas, I really think that's what was most missing this year in Dallas.
Okay, so that's a fun idea. Hank Fraley, big old son of a gun, definitely good old boy style coach. Fits well with Dan Campbell's staff. Played with the Lions, now coaching with the Lions. Brian, is that a name that you'd be excited about the Cowboys adding?
I was with a coach that went from being an assistant tight ends offensive line coach to being a quarterback coach to being a head coach, and that was Andy Reid. Okay, the thing that there's one coach in the league that has experience of being a tight end coach and then becoming a quarterback coach or working with another position. See, what I'm trying to do is what makes Andy Reid so unique is he could marry routes to protection.
Right.
Okay. There's a lot of time these offensive line coaches don't know the routes. They don't know the coverages. They know where guys are. They know what they're dealing with the front seven and stuff like that. I like her idea. I just don't know, though, if you're in that business. And the guy I mentioned that has a little bit of both, it was here at one time. It's Wade Phillips' son, Wes Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wes is in Minnesota. Wes has offensive line experience working with tight ends, but also has experience working with skill guys too. So to me, if you're going to get a guy as your primary play caller, he's got to understand how to marry the two together. You know, if you say offensive line coach, sure. You know, Jerry Jones wasn't willing to pay for Joe Philbin to still be here anymore. Is he going to pay to go get a Hank Fraley to be in the offensive coordinator here and the offensive line coach? I don't think so. I just don't think he'll do that. And will Mike McCarthy allow him to call plays? I don't think so.
Well, maybe this is next year, Mike McCarthy gone, Hank Fraley OC, right?
Well, this is where you go try and hire Ben Johnson then. You know, but what'll happen is though, maybe then Dan Campbell names Hank Fraley as his offensive line coach, as his offensive coordinator, which I think, hey, that's got possibilities. But I just saw it work so well with Andy being able to, like, Brett Favre will tell you, I'm sorry about that, Wolchuk.
No, you're okay. Not.
But,
right.
But Brett Favre will tell you that Andy had no coaching experience for quarterbacks, but he prepped this thing so much, and he knew, you know, he knew, like, he learned along the way.
So you want an offensive line coach that has had his hand in multiple parts of the offense.
Give me the guy that's coached a couple positions, and I know it's very, very rare to have an Andy Reid. But give me a guy that's been, you know, and maybe you have one of these guys, too, one of these young coaches that have been in a couple of different spots. And I mean different spots. It's like, oh, wait a minute. He was assistant offensive line. Now he's assistant quarterback coach. Now, you know, that's because I think it's important to marry the two, especially with the way you're attacking. It's great to know pass protections, but if you don't understand the routes and how coverages really, really work, are you going to be able to call plays? Like, you're getting in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden, hey, they're giving us this look. Okay, I know how to get this look if we had to block the play. But what about our routes?
Yeah.
You know?
What's a route beater for set tendency? That makes a lot of sense. I didn't even consider that. Now, for Fraley, I mean, what you're describing, the best scenario might be you go with Ben Johnson, he names you OC, because Ben Johnson, I assume, is still going to want to call plays.
Right.
Yeah. So then you don't have to worry about being the play caller. Now you are just the offensive coordinator, probably, / offensive line coach.
It's funny. And Hank Fraley, everywhere he's been a line coach. I mean, he started out at the University of San Diego, and so he's been at UCLA. He's had a couple of jobs, He was kind of like watching Biotish play. He was that type of a player as a guy. But he's all he's done is ever been has been an offensive line coach, and he has one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League. Would he want to leave that to come here with not one of the best offensive lines?
Yeah, that's the note I wanted to pick up on because, I mean, with the talent being what it is in Detroit compared to here, how much would, like, the perfect offensive line coach make you better? You know, like, do you need better players? Or is this guy going to make you, like, a top 10 running game and a top 5 offense just by his techniques and schemes?
It's hard to know for sure with him if it would because you just haven't seen it before, but you have seen that done before. That is realistic. I mean, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco hasn't had great personnel on the offensive line, but he's always found a way to get it done. Green Bay with Matt LaFleur, I mean, off the top of my head, I don't think they have just a bunch of 5 superstar beasts, but their rushing attack is super nuanced, and so you can get away with having average to slightly above and still have one of the best rushing attacks in the league.
I'm not going to act like I've watched every Tennessee Titan game, but running game Moses and them are not doing a very good job up in Tennessee. Bill Callahan.
Yeah, so there's the other side of it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, their offensive line has really lost a ton of talent. But there is talent here on this Cowboys line. Like, Tyler Guyton's a talented football player.
Sure.
Beattie's a good player.
The penalties are the biggest problem with Guyton. Right. I don't think it's the ability or how he plays. I think it's the penalties. Like, if he did not have the penalties, I think we'd be singing a different tune about Tyler Guyton.
And some of that's unfortunate. I think some of them have had bad calls that have gone against him with some of the holding stuff. Like, he's putting a dude in the ground. Maybe the official has a poor angle here. Mm-hmm. You watch on replay, you're like, that's not a hold. But from the ref's vantage point, it looked like he's tugging, he's pulling the guy. Some of that I don't think is on him. But yeah, I do think if you get the best offensive line coach, they're going to be able to do something with this Cowboys line. I think there's talent there.
Yeah, that's better than having a first-round running back and just putting it in what you got now.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you want to fix the run game, get a real run game expert, O-line guy expert. Philadelphia has it right now. Kellen Moore's the offensive coordinator. But Jeff Stoutland, she just name-dropped him. Yeah. He's the one that handles all their meetings about running the football. That's Stoutland on the board. He's the one that's talking about it. Yeah. Have somebody like that, and that could be a game changer, dude.
Yeah, but I say it again. Jerry Jones did not want to pay Joe Philbin. He didn't think Joe Philbin was worth the money.
Mm-hmm. And so you're going to have to go bidding war for Fraley one way or another. Because he played and coached in Detroit. Yeah. He's a Lion. Yeah. You know,
You're going to have to, like you said.
Yeah, I don't see Fraley being overly very realistic based on like all the things that you guys have said. Like if Ben Johnson leaves, Ben Johnson's going to take him with him, or Fraley's just going to get promoted within there from
Detroit. I think it's one
but
or the
just
other.
Just the general idea of having the brain power of a guy as your O-line coach / run game coordinator or whatever,
sure.
that is his wheelhouse, and I think you could see the rushing attack do some pretty cool things.
I mean, all I really need is to pluck one of these guys off the right coaching tree
to be
optimistic going into next year. Yeah, Green Bay, San Francisco, Detroit, something like that, where they have the creativity and you see it show up consistently. I think the Cowboys have run some great plays, but they treat them almost like trick plays where I think a lot of us are hoping it can be more of a base look that they're known for. And I don't believe that, you know, the Cowboys have the makings of a great offensive line right now. This is just about optimizing what they have. And hopefully in time, you know, you either develop or draft the guys that could execute that at a top 5 level. And then you're talking about the kind of place where I think Dak Prescott could play all pro football for you still, even without running. Okay, thanks to Joy for that. Zach Martin's season-ending surgery. We'll have to pick up that conversation a little bit later on right here, G-Bag Nation. Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, what do we got?
Yeah, let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals defense. We'll do that next.
Back to throw. The ball is intercepted. Intercepted by Chino Elluzier. I thought he just tipped it down the right sideline. The ball that Jeff Driscoll intended for Ross. And Elluzier, with tremendous coverage, comes away with the Cowboys' second takeaway of the night.
Yeah, big play from old Cheeto. Salute to him wherever he may be. That's your Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. Little schedule shift coming up at 4 o'clock. Nick Harrison at 4:20. It's time for the Eric Kendrick Show. We're getting late in the year. Mike gives you that winter schedule. You're off a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
One of the reasons a lot of the guys don't want to see him go. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
You got it.
All right. This is the report on the Bengals defense. And it's been a little bit of a struggle for them this season, especially with what they've had to deal with. Some of the stuff teams throwing the football on them, though, has been a bit of a problem. They do not get – they have one guy. They have one guy that gets pressure, and that's Trey Hendrickson. But Trey Hendrickson can also wreck your game by the way he plays. He's going to primary line up on your left side. So this is a this is going to be a Chuma Adoga game with Trey Hendrickson over there playing on that side. Now, this team is, like I mentioned, they're very poor with pressure, and they're very, very poor in sacks. And but Hendrickson's got double digit. He had four of them against the Raiders. And like I say, it was they had no answer for him that day. But this is where the Cowboys are going to have to live, and they're going to have to try and figure it out. Now, I'll tell you something about, though, this Bengals defense, because if you don't want to have to deal with Hendrickson, you might want to try and run the football against these guys.
I love it.
And I say this in a way, though, this is a team that doesn't give up a lot of explosive runs, but they do give up first downs running, and they do give up a lot of yards after contact when you watch them play. And they're not going to have Logan Wilson in this game.
No, and out for the season.
Out for the season. He's their best linebacker when it comes to making plays at or near the line of scrimmage. So with no Logan Wilson in this game, we'll see how that the Bengals try and manage this. But they've been it's a struggle for them. Now,
is Udoga giving you something more at left tackle than Guyton was? Is he better in the run, or is there anything positive you could say that would give us optimism that him versus Hendrickson?
I think to me, the thing with Hendrickson that, like, when I watched Hendrickson play, this is a really, he has a really good understanding of how to rush the passer. So maybe this is where it would be different for, you know, for Guyton to have to deal with, because Hendrickson is not going to allow you to push him past the quarterback. He rushes at the level of the quarterback. So, like, there's sometimes you get these edge rushers that go flying up the field.
Yeah.
And the lineman is able just to kind of wheel on him and then push him by. Mm-hmm. And then the quarterback steps up and makes the throw. If Adoga wheels on Hendrickson and pushes him, he's going to push him right into Cooper Rush, because Hendrickson understands where he needs to be at the level of the quarterback. You could tell that he studies the game and where the quarterback drop and where the quarterback stops, where the platform is to throw the football. Because it's very, very rare that you see him just go running past the quarterback. Now, if he feels like that you're setting really wide on him, he's going to rush inside. And several of his sacks this year have been just, and when it turns into that, it's just power. He's got the length. He's got upper body power. And that's what Adoga has to get ready for in this game. Like, he's going to attack your edge. But if he feels like they're like as a changeup, he'll just straight rush inside. And a lot of these guys haven't been able to deal with him hand fighting and then him getting to the quarterback. But he has got a really good feel for how to get to the quarterback.
He's a technician.
He's got three games with two sacks or more. I mean, he had a four-sack game against the Raiders.
That's what I was talking about. My God. He wrecked shop against them.
And you're right. I mean, he's got a bunch of different tools in the belt. Like, yeah, he can beat you in a bunch of different ways. And the hands have always been impressive.
Always been good with the hands.
Hendrickson.
So Hendrickson. Yeah.
That's the issue that you're going to have to deal with there. But I mentioned about potentially running the football against these guys. And I say this because as I'm looking down at my notes, that of the 13 games that the Bengals have played so far this season, they've had six games where the opponent has rushed the ball 30 or more times. Six of their 13 games. Would anybody like to take a guess of their record when they allow opponent to rush 30 times in a game?
Give me the
0-6.
1-5.
500.
1-5.
Oof.
1-5. The only win they've had this year when a team's rushed the ball for 30 times against them was the Giants.
So should we should we script the first 30 plays instead of the first 15?
Just all runs.
Hand it off?
I would just...
Rico.
I think I'd be a little bit more committed to what we've seen maybe from the Giants game. Maybe a little bit more what we saw from the Commanders game. Maybe a little bit more what we saw from the Steelers game.
I'd start with that. I mean, if you get down two scores, you might have to scrap it, but that's a good plan going in.
I kind of feel like, though, you need to try and keep the ball away from their offense.
Absolutely. Shorten the game, limit their possessions.
I know that's a very cliché and easy thing to say, but if Cincinnati is going to struggle in that area, then I'm all about trying to make sure that Joe Burrow does not get as many opportunities with the ball in hand.
And you can limit, every time you hand the ball off, you're limiting the opportunities for Cooper Rush, which I think is a pretty good option.
When the Bengals, when they do rush the passer, and like I said, they've struggled with pressure, and only Hendrickson has been able to get sacks, usually teams will find ways to bring extra pressure, and in the form of blitz. When you watch the Bengals play, a lot of teams blitz what on third down, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are balanced. They blitz on first down just as much as they blitz on third down.
It's probably because they can't run the ball either. So they're like, man, we gotta dial up some run blitzes here as well.
Got to do something. But this is where I think that Cooper Rush, and because we've always kind of talked about, well, you got to be ready for the third down. Got to win on third down. If the Bengals are going to blitz you on first down too, opportunity for play. They play a lot of single high. So they play with that safety in the middle of the field. And if you get Jake Ferguson back, what's the one thing that Jake Ferguson and at least Dak have been able to do? The seam routes.
Yep.
And maybe that's where Cooper Rush can make some hay for your offense. Because if they're going to play the single high look because they're worried about the run, then you've got to find a way to take advantage of that. But you've got to be ready for first down blitz against these guys. So if it turns into, you know, what do the Cowboys like to do? They run the waggles, the boots and stuff off that first down. They run a heavy play action and then try, you know, don't want to run Cooper Rush into potential
blitzer safety. Off the edge.
Exactly. So that's where you just, like I say, they're really, really balanced when it comes to that type of look. This team has allowed 3,011 yards passing, which is eighth most in the league. And they've, like they say, they don't force any pressure on that. I mentioned they're going to play a lot of single high look.
How are their corners?
Is that rookie, the Mark, the TCU kid?
Yeah, Josh Newton.
Okay.
Josh Newton has been okay. Teams have gone after, Cam Taylor-Britt is who they've gone after more. He's the right corner. Newton plays the left cornerback spot. And they've got after Taylor Britt a lot more because of, like, he doesn't have the ability to stay with these receivers. Newton, I think, could stay with receivers. I don't think that Taylor Britt can. And they've also struggled a little bit with Mike Hilton, who plays the nickel for them. So they've got a couple of different spots where they haven't been as good. Now, there's another thing that they do, that they play a ton of press man coverage. And I think this has got them in a little bit of trouble.
Is that because, like, Taylor Britt's just a bigger corner? They like him doing that more?
Yeah.
But then he can't run once he gets beat off the line.
He can't keep up with him.
I mean, so, can these Cowboys receivers make him pay for that?
I think they can. But we talk about it again. Can you block Hendrickson up front?
Mm-hmm.
If somehow you're able to kind of control that scene, yes, you can make plays. I think there's a couple different ways you can win this game against this defense. Running the football, hopefully, like, staying ahead of the chains that way. But that when we also need to throw the ball, find 29 in this defense or find 21 in this offense. Because those are the two guys that have seemed to have had the most problems with coverage.
Is there any signs of give up out there in that team with all the close losses they've had, all the expectation crashing?
You know what? I don't. I just... they are playing a lot of young guys. That's their biggest problem right now. That they're, you know, like the Cowboys are playing a lot of young guys with their, with on their offensive line. They've completely redone their, you know, McKinley Jackson was a rookie third round pick. Chris Jenkins, who was a Michigan, was a second round pick. They're trying so many guys right now, these rookies. Josh, I mentioned Josh Newton playing as a rookie. So it's been a problem for them with a little bit of inexperience. And then they've had the problems with the injuries and stuff, but I haven't seen any quit. I just don't see a team that's really very good. And they, and 2-3 years ago, they were a much better team up front, but I don't see that right now. So that's going to be, that's where the Cowboys are going to have to find a way to take advantage of some things.
Well, I think I'm going to do it. I've heard enough. I mean, there's opportunities in the passing game. There's single high coverage. Yeah. There's one good pass rusher. You can run against them. Obviously, you're going to need a game from the defense and maybe probably at least one turnover that takes points off the board. But I could see it, you know, 24-23, something like that. And I'm excited about Monday night football right here on your home of the Cowboys. The pregame will get going Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every day at 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Let's see what our friend Nick Harris has to say about this matchup and the Zach Martin news today. That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.